Good morning, everybody. This is Miss B. Everything you need to know with Miss B. That's right. Everything you need to know with Miss B. Great Saturday morning to you. Thank you so much for joining me. Of course, this is a pre-recorded episode, but that being said, I'm sure you're going to find something for everybody. Welcome, welcome, everybody. It's Saturday morning right here on the East Coast. We got a lot of bad weather going on, and but I pray that everybody is safe. I'm here in Virginia, and it's heading up the East Coast toward me, but that's okay. Again, this is Miss B right here on Everything You Need to Know with Miss B. Thank you so much for joining me. What are we going to talk about today? I don't know, but before I do that, I always say, Father, in the name of Jesus, I thank you so much for the opportunity to allow me to come before your throne to be used as a vessel of honor. That's right. I want these recordings and broadcasts to be a blessing to everybody who has a heart to hear and the ear to listen, Father. I thank you so much in the name of Jesus. I ask you to also to cover all of our military people and people who are stationed abroad. And I ask all of those who are involved in all of this bad weather, Haiti, all over as a matter of fact, everybody who's in the path of not only Matthew, but the other storm that's coming behind it. And then we have a whole lot of devastation over there in Haiti, and we've lost lives, and you know, a lot of people are bringing into politics. But Father, you know that everything is not your fault. They want to blame it on you, but we know it's not your fault. So in the name of Jesus, we thank you. We ask that they get wisdom and discernment as they go through these trials and tribulations. Amen and amen. That's right, everybody. This is Miss B. Everything you need to know of Miss B. What we're going to talk about today, I don't know, but before we do that, you know, I always like to do my wisdom corner. Whoop, whoop. Lance Cooper over there, 804 Street Media. He's the founder and CEO. They said that he is an internet personality now. You see, you don't know about that, but I've been following Lance Cooper over there on Facebook for over a year, and I use his quotes from his Facebook postings, with his permission, of course, in my wisdom corner. So with everything that's going on, I think this is very timely. On September the 23rd, Lance wrote, I am at a place in my life where peace is my priority and negativity cannot exist. You know, that is just timely because you know what? There's so much going on. We have to decide to have peace within ourselves. How we respond to a situation determines how we come out of it. So situations and circumstances happen to see how you respond. Are you someone who thrives on drama, loves a whole lot of confusion, and, you know, either creates it or lives it or seeks it out? Not me. You know what? Ms. B will tell you right now, take it somewhere else. So I'm going to stand in agreement with him. I'm at a place in my life where peace is my priority. You know, I'm 59 years old. My daughter said every year I get younger. I just don't remember my age. But that being said, it doesn't matter because where I am right now, I'm all about peace. You know, if it's not, you know, life and death, keep it away from me. I don't argue. I don't like disagreements. I say, Lord, this is your battle, not mine, and I walk away from it. Not all of you are like that. You carry burdens, you carry resentment, and you carry, you know, wanting to be vindictive or the excitement of being involved in drama. That's not me. We have the option to allow negativity in our lives. You know, we either have a half empty glass or a half full glass, or a glass is overflowing. My glass is overflowing. I don't have time for negativity. There's no room for it. So negativity cannot exist unless we allow it. It can come, but it can't stay. And I refuse to let it stay. If I, you know, the serenity prayer, I know the difference. Things that I can do something about, I'm fixing. Things that I can't, I'm turning it loose. So on this Saturday morning, Lance Cooper and I stand in agreement that we are at our place in our lives where peace is our priority, and we don't allow negativity to exist. It can come. We know it will come, but it will not stay. So that being said, that's Miss B right here on Everything You Need to Know with Miss B on a Saturday morning on our, yes, that's right, the Wisdom Corner with Lance Cooper for the CEO and founder of 804 Street Media. I keep asking him, boy, you need to give me a book because my finger's getting tired of clicking yes, like, click, yes, like, share. So on that note, we're going to move forward. What are we going to talk about today? Well, of course, my favorite section. No, I shouldn't say that, but my consistent section, Wendy Lee, Quiet Storm, a comedian right here out of the Petersburg, Virginia area. She loves me enough to come on every Saturday with me and give me her episode. And, of course, on Sunday mornings, 9 a.m. East Coast time, you can find her on her own episode, a repeat of today, with whatever. Yeah, sometimes, I mean, she lets you know that life is not a joke. life is not a joke. She has the joy of the Lord, but she is a very articulate, very educated young woman, and she has a lot to say. She's a woman who loves the Lord, and there's some messages out there that she wants you to hear, but it's not always about being funny. So that is how she comes over on her Be Yourself with Wendy Lee, Quiet Storm Comedian, on the Storm Talk 365 platform right there on Spreaker.com. She comes on every Sunday morning, 9 a.m. We automatically post our shows on Facebook. So if you're not a friend of Wendy Lee, the Quiet Storm Comedian, or Benita Claiborne, me, Miss B, please friend us so you can get all the latest episodes. We tweet it on my social media as well. That being said, we also have the PoetsWithoutLimits.com. We have everything over there from coupons to gaming, like Tetris and all the old things. We have featured artists, blog talks. We have poets. We have Speaker Alliance, the Horizons Without Limits Speakers Alliance. It's coming out with its own website where we promote speakers to go out and we represent them. So there's a lot going on over there at the PoetsWithoutLimits.com where I'm the president. I'm the CEO of Storm Talk 365, and we are a faith-based station over there, and we're global podcasters. We have everything from my 8-year-old granddaughter to, I think I'm the oldest, if I'm not mistaken, but we have Damien Hunt, who talks about men and after divorce. We have Marilyn, who's on every Saturday morning, 11 a.m., about the holistic approach to your life and healthy eating. And we just got a variety, because on Storm Talk 365, we believe, as well as on the PoetsWithoutLimits.com, which is where we are now, that we want to encourage spiritual growth and enhance human development. And whatever that takes, that's what we want to do. So that being where we are this morning, I've already given you the Wisdom Corner. Marilyn Scott over there on the podcast with You Matter with Marilyn every Saturday morning, 11 a.m. East Coast time, has given me a minute with Marilyn every Saturday. So I think today I'm going to play two of them. That's a minute with Marilyn. And she gives you just a quick blurb on how to encourage yourself and be the best you can be where you are. So we're going to have that. So Wendy Lee and Marilyn are my staples. They come over here from Storm Talk 365. Also, my daughter, Jamise Wilson, she started her show. She's the National Sales and Marketing Director for both radio stations. That's the PoetsWithoutLimits.com and Storm Talk 365. But she's branched out and she has her own talk show, which comes on every Tuesday evening at 5 p.m. It's called Uncovered with Jamise Wilson. Uncovered with Jamise Wilson is going to, you know, have a variety of different topics. But last week, she had a gentleman on. I'm not going to tell you his name. I'm just going to let you know about the topic. But anyway, he talked about the God gene. What in the world is that about, the God gene? So I'm going to play that pre-recorded episode from last Tuesday, the God gene. So first you hear from Wendy Lee, the Quiet Storm, and then next you'll hear the episode from last Tuesday on Jamise Wilson's debut show, Uncovered. And this gentleman has insight. He is a follower of Jesus Christ, but what he has to say is totally different from anything you've ever heard, probably heard. I'm in agreement with that, and we're going to start a weekly broadcast with him on Sunday, starting this Sunday, not tomorrow, but the following week, on the God Gene. So every Sunday afternoon, East Coast time at 3 p.m., look forward to that. So that's what we're going to do today. We're going to have a minute with Marilyn or two. We're going to have Wendy Lee, the Quiet Storm, and her episode is found every Sunday morning at 9 a.m. on the Spreaker.com Storm Talk 365 platform, or just find us on Facebook, iTunes or YouTube, and SoundCloud. So we're everywhere, but I'm sure you're going to enjoy her. She's letting you know that life is no joke. So, and then again, the last episode will be from Jamise Wilson's new show starting last Tuesday, and it's going to be talking about the God Gene. All right, everybody, you have a great day. This is Ms. B. Stay tuned for the entire 2 hours if you can. If not, all of our episodes, both here, right here, that's right, on Blog Talk Radio, are downloadable and available 24 hours a day for replay. If you want to find it on Storm Talk 365, it's automatically shared on Storm Talk 365, on demand listening as well, and for download if you want to save your data. So no matter which platform you go on, Blog Talk or Spreaker, you can listen to it 24 hours a day or download it. All right, everybody, this is Ms. B. Stay tuned for A Minute with Marilyn and Wendy Lee, The Quiet Storm, and, of course, Jamise Wilson with Uncovered. All right, everybody, you have a great day. Talk to you later.
Everybody, this is Ms. B. That's right. We're starting out laughing already. You're listening to Ms. B on Everything You Need to Know with Ms. B and Be Yourself with Wendy and Lee. That's right. This is the best episode that I could ever think about. I don't know. Wait till you hear the title. But, Lord, I thank you. I thank you. Amen. That's all I can say. Wendy Lee, the Quiet Storm Christian comedian, is with me again, and I'm just excited. Every time she allows me to be a part of her broadcast, she's going to eventually branch out on her own. But for right now, she's joining me every Saturday morning, East Coast time, 10 a.m. to 12 noon, when I can get Block Talk to act right. But otherwise, she's with me on Saturday mornings, and eventually she will be doing her own thing. But today we have an interesting topic. I'm not going to tell you. I'm going to let her tell you. But Wendy Lee, welcome. Thank you so much for joining me.
Thank you. Thank you. So good to be here. You know, I'm missing my Saturday morning cartoons.
Child, let me tell you, the Roadrunner and Tasmanian Devil will wait for you, okay?
I'm telling my decade here, because now cartoons are available all day, every day. That's no fun. That's so fun. The children are so unprivileged today. We had to wait till Saturday morning to watch the cartoons. But anyway, I just had to put that in there. I'm jealous. That's the real reason I talk about it. I'm jealous. They get to watch cartoons all the time. I had to wait till Saturday morning. And then had to do it after the chores were done. Security don't even have chores now. I'm jealous about that, too. They don't know how to clean.
They probably don't know how to spell the word chores. Lord Jesus, what's going on?
They're going to spell it wrong with all this text lingo here they got going on.
But not only that, they don't worry about cartoons. They wake up with a gadget in their hand. If it ain't, you know, something in handheld, an iPad, iPod, I suppose to be, they don't even know what a cartoon is. And everything on Disney now is never mind. Go ahead, child. I'm jealous, too.
You don't want to talk about it. Yeah, you know, the iPad first came out. I thought they were talking about the thing to cover your eye. You know, when you have an eye injury, I thought that's what an iPad was. I'm like, oh. You got an iPad. I'm like, what happened? Yeah, so anyway.
No, I think you were the one that posted that meme about the kids said, Mom, want an iPad for Christmas. They gave her a medical iPad and said, here you go. You did that. Then you posted that.
Oh, no, that's not me. No, I'm not guilty of that. But that's very clever. Whoever did that, I'm jealous about that, too.
That was too funny. Oh, okay, so Wendy Lee, have kept him in suspense long enough, even though we're jealous and we're missing out on our cartoons. And don't forget the cereals, man. Don't forget, you know, my favorite cereal was Sugar Frosted Flakes, and it still is. But don't forget the cereals with the bananas and the big bowl, the big soup bowl. You just fill it up with milk and sit there and let the milk drip down your chin while you're watching cartoons.
Oh, Lord.
You remember those days?
No, I do. I ain't do that none drip down my chin. No, I was high class. I was a high class children.
No.
Plus, I couldn't. And look and see, you had something going on that I didn't have, and you much older than me. So I don't even know what.
No, you didn't say much. Did you have to go much?
Yeah.
Much, much, much. Not one, three muches.
Hold on, you're focusing on the wrong thing.
Right.
Focus on the wrong thing.
Okay. They had sugar frosted flakes back in my day. Yes, they did.
Yes.
What's up with
yes,
that?
They had sugar frosted flakes, but look, we didn't have the TV in the same room without, you know, as having the kitchen and the TV. Well, maybe, well, that's what it was. Y'all had a room house and everything. You had a studio house. That's
no. No.
Okay.
I'm going to tell you what happened. See what happened was my mama had to work on Saturday morning, and she didn't know I was in the room with the TV. So she'd go home to Glory so I can tell them. I said, we did have three rooms, but I went in the room where the TV was at.
I didn't have this luxury. I was so scared. My daddy had put the fear of God in me. I had to sit at the table. We had to eat at the table. At the table? Yeah. So I had to eat at the table and then go in and watch TV. If my chores were done.
Oh,
yes,
see.
Indeed.
That's the only thing. I used to love them every other Saturday mornings when Mama had to work. That was, child. That's when the milk was dripping and the TV was on. Otherwise, I was,
left evidence. That was, you had milk dripping, so you left evidence. You probably got your hand popped with it.
No, I just, but, you know, every now and then, our only child can get away with a little something. She probably knew I was cheating, but it's all good.
She knew. Mama knew. Okay. All right, so we got the history lesson. Y'all got the history lesson from the 1800s, y'all. So we thank you for sharing with us, Miss B, about your lifestyle. We appreciate it.
If everything goes silent, you know I done cut her off. I'm about to cut her, y'all. I'm about to cut her. She done did the much, much, much older. Now she done put me into the Jurassic Zone. Oh, okay. I see where we're going with this morning. All right. Go ahead.
Girl, you know you wrote a few books from that Old Testament. Stop playing. You know you are. I see your name on some of them songs.
No, actually, I'm in the Dead Sea Scrolls, but I ain't going to tell nobody. I'm good. I'm in the Dead Sea Scrolls. It's all right. It's all right, though. I'm proud to be 1,000 years old plus much.
But you look good, girl. You look good. You don't look a day over 999.
Really?
Yes, you look good.
You said the sweetest things to me, Boogie Boo.
And I know it's all natural. I know you don't use no olive oil or nothing, none of that. You used to, this natural.
No,
beauty.
I use the Dead Sea salt, so that's what I be using to make it look. Yeah, I be using it. Yeah, girl, I got to go with the heavenly stuff. I think our topic has something to do with the goings of something. What's our topic about this month? The goings.
We're going to talk about being hungry. Being hungry.
No.
And it's also known as, you're talking about a race car. That was a jokey joke. Yeah, I took and told her what you call it in the virtual green room. Yeah, we were talking. She asked what we're going to talk about today. I told her race car. And Lord have mercy, y'all. It was a silent, it was a holy hush on the line. She was trying to figure out whether I was joking or serious. Okay. And she really wanted to laugh, but if I was serious, she didn't want to laugh at it. She was going to spare my feelings.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
But the holy hush.
Yep, that's what had happened. And I'm going to be up on her. I'm going to let her go forth in the name of Jesus and let her do the race car thing.
And,
y'all figure it out now.
Yeah.
We got Christian comedian Quiet Storm doing race cars. You figure it out.
Yes. We were talking about it. Yeah, and I had a scripture to go with it, you know, and it popped in my mind suddenly. Well, the race is not given to the swift nor the battle to the strong, but the one who endures to the end. And I took and told it, if you knew, I was serious. And that's what I said. Psych! Ka, 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 ka. Okay. I'm finished.
I invited her on my show, and she put me in a Jurassic Zone, but yet, okay, bye.
Yeah. See, they pay me to act like this. This is my moneymaker. I'm giving a free show right now. Most people got to pay. Y'all are so privileged. This is hot off the press stuff right here. Yeah. Hallelujah. Okay, so we're going to talk about being hungry, Miss B. AKA fasting.
I think they're hungry to see what we be talking about this morning. Okay, so
we're gonna talk about
the racing of the cars, right, Wendy?
Yes. We're gonna talk about race cars, but you know what? Fasting goes along with race cars because when you race a car, you go fast. So that it's all connected. See how good God is. It's all connected. In order to race, you got to go
on that fast.
You know it's the truth. Your spirit is bearing witness with this right here.
Okay, so we have to fast in and race cars take us to the destination as we go fast in. Okay, I got
glory. Hallelujah. And you know what? And it speeds up some stuff in our lives when we fast. Oh, glory. I feel like running through this wall. But anyway, that's going to hurt, so I'm not going to do it.
Be careful.
Yeah.
You ain't that thin. Yeah. You thin, but you ain't that thin.
No matter how careful you are, if you run through a wall, it's going to hurt. Well, I appreciate the dice. See, that's 1800th century. No, it's 19th century. Cause yeah. Okay, anyway, I ain't going to try.
I'm going to get you.
No,
I'm going to get you.
I'm fine. Okay, here we go. Serious face. Shoot. I just put my serious face on. Okay, so fasting. I guess I'm going to take control right now. Yes, but I want to talk about fasting today. It's on my mind. Actually, it's food really on my mind, just to be honest. But there's a couple of things that just came up to this, and it stuck with me about fasting. And fasting is very necessary, and it's a discipline that we Christians, a lot of us don't practice. And we know that the scripture says when we fast. You know, it says that in the four gospels. And that's Jesus talking. Jesus talking us when he says when we fast, you know, to do certain things. And so that implies that we should. It's not an option. It's something that we should do. And, you know, and I did a study on fasting a couple of years ago. And what I learned is that it's a lot of countries, a lot of cultures actually fast on a regular basis, but they do it for different reasons. They do it for health reasons, and they do it just as a part of their culture. It's just something that they practice for health reasons. And so that was just interesting to find out when I was doing my research. But, you know, we Christians, we do it for a different reason, although we do reap health benefits from it. So it's a very good thing, you know, to practice for spiritual reasons as well as health reasons. And, you know, I have this book by Franklin Hall. It's an old book. You probably from your time. You was probably in your 50s.
There she go.
But it's from 1946. That's the copyright date. So I know you were there. No. You're my cousin. We love you. Yeah. But Franklin Hall... It's an old, tattered book, but but it's so old. It's been through some things, but now I'm talking about the book. I'm talking about the book, but
I'm muting myself out because I do not want to take away from this dynamic story about fast and the ink and the racing of the cars with the message that she's trying to pretend to send today. So I'm muting myself out and go back to the Jurassic Park and find me a chair with a blue pill.
Not the blue pill.
I'm quiet. I'm learning here. You're teaching me something. Okay.
Hallelujah. Okay. So this book is by Franklin Hall. It was, the first copyright was in 1946, and then they published it again in like the 70s. But this is an awesome book, and it really changed my life. I actually read this about 2 years ago, and it did. It revolutionized my life just to learn some things. And one thing I learned in this book that blew me away was in Luke, in the Gospel of Luke, where it says that Jesus fasted. Now, we know it is actually recorded in I think it's three of the Gospels. But in the passage in Luke where it actually, I learned that Jesus fasted because he was going to be tempted. Now, prior to then, for reading this book, I was under the impression that Jesus was tempted because he was fasting. And so this just blew my mind. So I'm like, okay. And so in this book it was talking about how fasting gives you power, because that's the name of the book, The Atomic Power of Fasting. So when we fast, we get power to overcome. We get power to resist. We get power to resist the devil. And so that's why Jesus was able to resist these temptations, because he fasted. So that's the reason. And it's not because he was tempted, because he was fasting. So that just blew my mind right there. And then one thing I noticed in reading this passage in Luke that I was in awe about, and it answered a question that I've had a long time. Now, in Luke, this is Luke chapter 4, where it says in the first verse, it says, "And Jesus, being full of the Spirit, or full of the Holy Ghost, returned to Jordan." Okay. And then you know, this actually introduces the temptation of Jesus. But after those three temptations, in chapter 14, then it says Jesus returned in the power of the Spirit unto Galilee. And these are two different things. At first, he was full of the Spirit when he went to be tempted, because I think, if I'm not mistaken, that this was after he got baptized. So he was full of the Spirit. Because one thing I've always wondered is why we Christians, battle with so much and we have so much defeat in our lives if we are full of the Spirit. But the thing is, we are full of the Spirit, but we don't have the power of the Spirit. So that's two different things. So this blew my mind, and I had never noticed this before until I was reading this book, and then I went back and looked at this passage, and then I noticed those two different words there. And in verse 1, he was full of the Holy Ghost, but then in verse 14, he had the power of the Spirit because he had been fasting and he had resisted the temptation of the devil. So that, wow, that blew me away there. And then I also want to let the listening audience know that we have this misconception about fasting, that we think fasting moves the hand of God. That is not so. What fasting does, it puts us into position to hear and receive of God. And so I just wanted to let people know that, because we have this thing that when we get in a tizzy, then we want to fast, to try to get God to answer our prayers quicker, or try to manipulate, this is tell the truth, we try to manipulate God and make him do what we want him to do. But actually, fasting is a discipline that is for us. It moves us into position to hear from God, because he is always speaking, and the Bible is full. It is full of him speaking to us. And when we fast, our mind gets clear. And and so much, Lord, I want to say. And one thing I learned is that this food, what food does to us, it actually puts us into a zombie-like state. It really does. We are the living dead, pretty much. Because this food, because we consume so much of the wrong things, and especially this high fructose corn syrup stuff. This is an addictive thing that they put in things that we are not even aware of. I mean, this high fructose corn syrup is in so many things, in barbecue sauce, and things that we think are healthy, but this here, and ketchup. And I don't eat ketchup, but it's these type of things, because it is an addictive thing that makes us keep wanting more, and it's amazing how the things we as Americans, Lord have mercy, we overeat, and even me, even though I weigh about 20 pounds, I do, and I had a food addiction. I'm gonna go ahead and put that out there. I had a food addiction, and I could get away with it because I was so thin it wouldn't show on me, because I have a high metabolism. And so, I used to eat, and I'd get family-sized stuff, and only me and my invisible children and husband here, and I used to get family-sized stuff. And go, I was hiding food in the house, and ain't nobody here but me. So I had this thing that I felt like I felt like the food was calling me. I felt like I couldn't stop eating something until it was all gone. And the way I had to discipline myself was I had to go to the grocery store kind of like 2 or 3 times a week because I had to bring a certain amount of food in the house in order to keep me disciplined. Because otherwise, I would eat the whole thing. I mean, half gallon of ice cream, it would be gone like 2 days because I just couldn't get enough. And there was times I would eat myself miserable. And a lot of people don't believe this about me because I'm so thin, but I'm telling you, thin does not mean healthy. So I was thin, but I was unhealthy, you know, in my emotions because there was something emotional. There was an emotional thing that was driving that eating, that crazy eating like that. And so, but anyway, getting back to fasting, but that's, and I know it's probably a lot of people may not have it to the point that I had it, you know, but we do, we eat ourselves, and even portion size. Our portion size are outrageous. I recall I was listening to this lady. She's a model, and she's from France, and she came over to the U.S. to be a model. And they were interviewing her, and they were asking her, you know, how was she getting adjusted to the U.S. And she said, one thing she said, y'all are so obsessed with eating. She said there is a restaurant on almost every corner. And then she even talked about our portion size. She said portion size is outrageous. And then then that's when I learned what actual portion size is supposed to be. And that's when I started paying attention to labels on the because then the portion size are on the label, but we just eat outrageously. And then when I look at the portion size, I'm like, I ain't eating that. That's dog baby food right there. I was looking at those portion sizes to see what the actual portion size is supposed to be because they're labeled correctly, but we just overeat. And then what this model was saying, she was saying that she said in France, she said we enjoy our food. She said even though we have smaller portions, we eat and we take our time and we enjoy the food. We savor the taste. We chew slowly, you know, and we enjoy our food. So those smaller portion sizes don't deprive us. Because we enjoy the food. Well, we Americans, we eat, we gobble, and some of us, we just bite and chew. We don't even enjoy the food. And then some of the, they're so filled with preservatives and fillers that they really, and it's funny, they call them fillers, but they don't fulfill the hunger. So, I mean, so it's just amazing. So it's just amazing. And so, but what fasting does, even for our psyche, our psyche, it clears our mind. Because I know I battled with mind fog, especially when I was going through my little issue a couple of years ago. My mind was so foggy. But let me just tell my own personal testimony about fasting. And what fasting did for me, it was because I know I had struggled with fasting, and I realized a couple of years ago that I hadn't fasted, this is more than a couple, several years ago, I realized I hadn't fasted in years, and it was hard for me to commit to a fast. I couldn't even commit to a 3-day fast. I would cheat within the first 24 hours, and then after cheating, you know, that would be my justification for coming off the fast. Like, well, I can't do it. I'm just going to come off of it. But I fasted. I did 7 days of water only. Now, this was drastic for me because this was actually in 2011. But it was drastic for me because I was in a state where I needed to hear from God, and I was desperate. So I did it. So I don't advise, you know, we all know, consult your doctor, and it depends on what you got going on, you know, in your personal life, and with health-wise, you know, as far as what kind of fast you do. But this was me, what I did, because I was desperate. And I did 7 days of water only. And the way this fast came about, I was preparing for a conference. So I had a conference within 2 weeks. And the thing is, I just changed my style of eating. I changed, and what I did, I was doing fruits and vegetables. I did fruits and vegetables for, I think, 14 days. And so from that 14 days, it just shifted into, I said, and I was able to do those 14 days. But after those 14 days of fruits and vegetables, I said, well, I'm just going to go ahead and do a water only up until this conference. And that's what I did. I did water, and it was lemon water. And I had real lemons, you know, rolled them lemons, squeezed the lemon juice into the water, and that's what I did. And it was not easy. I'm telling you, it was not easy. So that third day, Lord have mercy, I thought I was going to die. But I pressed past that third day, and Lord have mercy. And I was able to, and look, and the thing is, I had to reveal another one of my secrets. I had a issue with my house. My house was real cluttered. I had stuff. I mean, really, I had a Roomba stuff where I couldn't even move. If anybody have ever seen that show, I think it's on TLC, Hoarders, I was almost there. I had a room of stuff where I literally could not move. Stuff was everywhere. I didn't have any dead animals in the house, Lord have mercy. But I had a room, and room that was like that, and then over the house, it was pockets of just junk, clutter. My whole house was cluttered. But that one room was awful. I couldn't even open the door hardly. But, okay, so in the midst of that fast, I cleaned my house. And I had, my house was in that state for about 5 years. I ain't gonna lie. My house was in that state, you know, just it started accumulating stuff. It just got, you know, progressively worse. And over 5 years, I kept saying, I'm going to clean my house, clean my house. And it got to that point. But when I was fasting, 3 days, I cleaned that whole house. I cleaned the whole house. And it was amazing because God was ministering to me during that time when I was cleaning up the house. And I got some awesome revelations. I'm not going to go into it. But he even showed me the source of where the clutter was coming from. And I will say that clutter was coming from the fact that I had a series of loss in my life. You know, people had died, and I had a broken relationship, and then some friendships that happened. And so I felt like I needed to hold on to stuff. So that holding on to stuff physically was a symptom of was a parallel of what was going on within. Me trying to hold on to people, I was holding on to things, and it just showed, you know, the parallel there. And then there some other revelations I got as well. But so that was one thing. And then another thing, major thing I didn't even notice until about 2 weeks later. I went to the conference. The conference was awesome. And I thought I was going to receive, and let me just put this in here, because this is very important, because we have a tendency to think, and I did, I thought that, you know, it was going to be some miraculous manifestations that happened, that I was going to have the awesome spiritual encounter at this at the conference, because I had been fasting. But, you know, it was, you know, I thought I was going to be on the floor boo-hooing, crying, that I was going to experience some things at the conference that I never experienced. And none of that happened, you know, it was just like a regular service, you know, for me. And so I was kind of disappointed. I mean, to be honest, I was kind of disappointed after the conference was over, the three-day conference. And I'm like, oh, I've been fasting. And I'm like, I ain't had no awesome stuff to happen at the conference. But listen to this. It was about 2 weeks later that I, the thing is, I had a lump in my breast. And I had it checked out, you know, previously, but it was not cancerous. It was a non-cancerous lump, but it was there, and it just bothered me, you know, because, you know, you have something on your body, you kind of play with it sometimes, and so it was something, you know, I would fidget with, you know, periodically just because it was there. And it was so large that it was protruding, you know, actually, you know, from my flesh that you could see it. You know, I look in the mirror and I could see it protruding out. So it just bothered me because it was there. Okay, and lo and behold, it was about 2 weeks after that conference. Yeah, I went, you know, look for it to fidget with it. Then I noticed it was gone. It was gone. And to me, I believe that it happened as a result of the fast. And so I'm going to stop right there because I think you sleep. So wake up.
You're going to say more. Then you're going to put me in Jurassic State. I told you I was going to take a blue pill and stick in a corner. What you want me to say? You trying to minister to these people about eating and not eating and fasting and all of that, and you trying to... Oh, what I say? All joking aside, that was a very interesting share of information. I'm on all joking aside. A lot of people have been taught or have been misunderstanding what exactly fasting is all about, and to take a text and break it down in the meaning that you did, I pray that they receive it in a manner that is meant, because I like also the way you refer to the fact that sometimes, unfortunately, and not being judgmental, fasting is appeared to be used as a form of manipulation, like, God, I need this, I'm fasting, so give me what I'm asking for because I'm fasting, and that's not how that works. So I really think that that message was timely. And also I like the way you said it's not going to be easy. And, you know, we have to fast according to what our body can take and what we want to do. But you chose, well, no, I'm not going to say that. I believe the Holy Spirit guided you to say, you know what, you started out this way, but let's just see how you can have a water. And also lemon, not only does it give you energy, it's a natural cleanser, and it also
Yeah, so it has a lot of properties, so it wasn't like you weren't getting any nutrients at all during a water fast. So, no, I didn't fall asleep, Wendy. I think that I can honestly say without laughing, I really was paying attention, and I thank you for sharing that. I really do. So, people, what we're trying to tell you is study to show your own self approved. And if you're not quite sure, she mentioned a book, and I'm sure she's going to tell you about it again. But I personally use the studies of Elmer Towns on his fasting for spiritual breakthrough books, mm-hmm. and they were just, like, very good. I think Benny Hinn, a few other people have some mm-hmm. fasting books out. But regardless of what you do, study. Don't just go on your own willy-nilly saying, well, I'm going to fast. Study, yeah. You know, knowledge is very important, and how you use what the Father's given us scripturally will determine whether you have power. And I like also, Wendy, that you refer to the fact that he did not fast. The reason why he fasted, the reason why he was attacked was not because he fasted. He fasted because he knew he was going to be attacked. So it releases the spiritual power that mm-hmm. we all have within us once we accept Jesus Christ as our Lord and Savior. We should be able to activate that. So I really appreciate everything that you shared this morning.
Yes, yes, ma'am. There's much more I could say, but I'm hungry. Oh, this made me hungry. No,
well, all right, everybody. This is the TV with Wendelina. She's hungry, and my sugar processed places are waiting on a Saturday morning. That's right. This is Ms. B. On Everything You Need to Know with Ms. B. Every Saturday morning, 10 a.m. to 12 noon East Coast time. And if you don't want to hear my whole 2-hour podcast, or if you're not able to listen to it on a Saturday morning, Wendy Lee is available on the Storm Talk 365 platform on Spreaker.com. That's Spreaker.com. Be Yourself with Wendy Lee Quiet Storm. Just go to Spreaker.com, type in Be Yourself with Wendy Lee Quiet Storm, and all of our episodes will come up. That's every Sunday morning, 9 a.m. It will automatically be posted on Facebook. If you're not a Facebooker, we can also be found on YouTube and iTunes and SoundCloud. So, Wendy Lee, before we go, if you don't mind giving them the name of that book again, telling them how they can get in contact with you, and if they want to have you at an event or a family event, how they can secure that appearance, I'm sorry, and anything else you want to tell them at this time.
Okay. All right. Well, the name of the book again is, and I think it's still available somewhere. You might have to go to Miss B's house. She got all these books from it. It's her era.
Girl, I'm on my way, okay? I know where you live. I'm on my way, okay? You and that invisible husband and them 34 visible churn. When you hear that knock on the door from Jurassic Park, okay?
But the name of the book is called Atomic Power with God, with Fasting. Yeah, Atomic Power with God with Fasting, and it's by Franklin Hall. And then a straw family, like Ms. B was saying, it's a whole lot of other people that have excellent books on fasting, because I don't know if this one is still available, but you can probably Google it and find it somewhere. But this left my life. This really left my life. And you can find me. I'm on Facebook, Wendy Lee. I'm on Twitter, Comedian Quiet Storm. And I think that's it. Lord have mercy. I need to get some more platforms. Yeah. Yeah, and that's that. That's that right there. You can tweet me. You can tweet me, or you can book face me. Yeah, see, that's what happens when you go without food. You get discombobulated.
Ignore her. It's the blood.
After that third day, you rise again. Won't he do it? Ain't he all right? Okay, I'm sorry. Make it
No, she's not sorry. She's don't believe that. Don't take that. She knew. Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. I think I finished. Yeah. Facebook, Twitter. You find me. It's all from that good preaching. I preach you happy. I preach you sad. And I pray you back happy again. Why do
it? Wendy, eat a pack of sugar, drink you some orange juice, calm down, find a Snickers,
because that monster in you is coming out. We need to just calm down. Okay, stay focused. Okay,
if
so we're going to find
Matthew's
you.
Matthew's doing
the,
it. You know, he a song. Matthew, he a song. I'm the choir song. So this is the most wrath you don't feel from Matthew. It's not even wrath. This is the most Matthew going to do to us right here. It's through me.
Yeah.
I'm the choir song.
There ain't nothing quiet about this song. But,
okay.
Hallelujah. 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 Bless his name. Okay, I'm finished.
Go get you some sugar, baby. Go get you some sugar. It'll be all right.
No, see, this without sugar. This without sugar. See, this better than the fructose. That's almost cussing right there. That's almost cussing.
Okay. Well, that being said, everybody, this is Miss B on the choir storm. No, I'm not on choir storm. Where am I? Wherever I am, this is where we're going to go with this here right here. We're going to park this chair right here and say, Wendalee of the Choir Storm Christiane Comedian can be found on the Book of the Faith, like she said, but it, for us other folks, it's called Facebook. Okay, so with the Book of the Faith, you can find her, and she ain't twitting too much. Don't worry about that. Just go straight to Facebook, and anything else I have, you can find her on YouTube, iTunes, SoundCloud, and the Spreaker.com platform. That being said, everybody, please look up
and the Yellow
the Quiet
Pages.
Storm. Yeah, no, not Yellow Pages. She don't want her phone number published. She's too lazy to get a Google number. So right now, if it ain't on the Facebook and the email, you're
Yellow
just
Pages.
Out of luck. That being said, if you need her to appear, you do need her to appear at a family function, at a wedding, at a backyard cookout, you know, anything that you want the joy of the Lord and some silliness, Wendalee Quiet Storm is available for bookings, and also you can book her for some serious talk. As you can see, life is no joke with Wendalee. She has some serious things that comes out of her mouth every now and then. She'd already had, I think, like 4 or 5 serious episodes, a little something funny on them, but just give her a chance. She's absolutely amazing. She's spirit-filled, and I think she'll be a blessing to you once you invite her to be among you. That being said, Wendalee, I really thank you for allowing me to share your episodes with me or my listeners on Saturday mornings. And again, I look forward to everything that you're about to do. You have some things coming up, and I look forward to those coming up to be a part of Storm Truck 365 as well. Everybody, this is Ms. B and Wendy Lee. Again, find her Sunday morning, 9 a.m., all by her lonesome, on Storm Truck 365 under the Spreaker.com platform. And look her up on Facebook, Instant Messenger. And if you're not a Facebooker, please don't hesitate to email her at
ComedianQuietStorm@gmail.com.
All right, everybody. Y'all have a great day. This is the Enjoy Your Weekend. Bye-bye, everybody.
This show has been sponsored by The God Genes Decoded. The God Genes Decoded focuses on the evolution of consciousness and love as the unified field theory. The reader will appreciate the clear explanation of ancient Egyptian understanding of the evolution of life from single atoms to virus to single cellular organisms and then complex biological organisms. This is a book that the world has been waiting on, The God Genes Decoded.
Well, hello, everyone. Welcome to Uncover with Janice Wilson. I am your host, Janice Wilson, this evening. And I have two very special guests I would love to introduce to you. The first one is Mr. Nova New, and the second one is Miss B of Storm Top 365. So hello, everyone.
Good evening.
Hi.
Hello, well, Mr. Baba New is the author of The God Genes Decoded, and we are very delighted to ask him some questions about his book and how everything came about. So are we ready to get started?
I am ready to get started. Glad to be on the show.
I'm excited to be on the show, too. Thank you, Janice, for allowing me to be a part of your premiere. As a matter of fact, congratulations for your own podcast, Uncovered. All right, everybody. Janice has invited this amazing author to be a guest on her shows. And
it just intrigued me about the title. So, Mr. Garbages, tell us about the title and how you chose that title. And what is this book about?
Well, I'm going to start with a review that was given on Amazon.com. It says, despite the focus on the ancient cosmological texts of Egypt, its general theme, that this is about the book, its general theme is quite universal in the sense of instructing us on how to develop spiritually in life by tapping into the natural elements of divinity that surround us. As someone with very little knowledge on ancient Egypt, it was written in a way that the information didn't go over my head. At the same time, there's real meat as opposed to the fluff I often find in other books on this topic. And that right there is one of the major reasons why I wrote the book, as opposed to the fluff that people often find on books in books on this topic. It continues, the new argument offers is to remove the disconnect between science and religion by understanding that there's a formula to this game called life. Anyone searching for real answers on how to control their destiny, live by universal truth, and tap into their God genes should definitely add this to their must-read list. I called it the God genes because, you know, on the path of spirituality and enlightenment, I reached the point where I was frustrated, and I said to myself, I said, you know what, everything that I am looking for in terms of wisdom and knowledge and understanding has to be in my DNA. I'm not exactly certain where that concept came from, but I found it to be true, and I found it to be embedded in the creation stories of the ancient people of the Nile Valley. You know, I had, in my earlier days, in my teenage years, I had read at least about 10 different books on ancient indigenous cultures, and they always had a cosmological doctrine, you know, how the universe was created or how they as a people came into being. And that pretty much set the stage for how they organized their culture, their practices, what they gave priorities to, what things were important specifically for them as a people to be a great people. And so, you know, studying ancient Egypt from age 18 up until the time about a year before I decided to write this book, I realized that there was a lot of confusion and that we weren't really getting to the bottom of things. And there was this huge elephant in the room called science. You know, I love science. From the time I was a child, science was the most important subject to me. I was in science classes, and I realized that a lot of what I learned about science, even as common knowledge, isn't really integrated into, let's call it spirituality and even religion. And I went and did my research, and I found that this was by design, that these creation stories, the most advanced creation stories, how the universe came to be, the way that ancient people in the Nile Valley spoke about it, it was more personal. So in ancient Kemet, for instance, they knew that every single thing is alive. It is conscious. It is sentient. From the base matter that creates all the different elements on the periodic table of life to our biological structures, DNA, cells, everything is made up of living life, meaning that life is made of life. And you know, quantum theory, the hydrogen fusion cycle, it is written in their creation stories. So they knew that everything in creation is actually made of the hydrogen atom, and that everything on the periodic table of elements is really, it can be broken down to how many hydrogen atoms it is made of. But what they also knew is that love was the reason why things worked. Because for evolution to take place, for small, minuscule beings, I mean literally, atoms are little people. And for those people who are lucky to go on what I call shamanic journeys, they come face to face with this reality. So take the ancient Kemet now, and they're talking about the differentiation of atoms into male and female and pairing up in relationships to form molecules. And then these molecules pair up, and one of the first things that are formed when molecules pair up for more advanced biological life is DNA. And then now you have single-cellular organisms and then multicellular organisms. So their creation story was exact biological science. It wasn't superstition. And now also when we look at what DNA is, it is our script. It is all of our experiences for survival codified for our survival. So there's mountains and mountains of knowledge, as we are the expression of mountains and mountains of knowledge, and we can tap into it. So, you know, that is, you know, why I call the book The God Genes Decoded. It was because I found it. And I not only found it for contemporary times, but this is the wisdom that some of the most advanced civilizations had of how the universe was created. That continues now with what is called the Tree of Life. In ancient Kemet, it was called the Pau Neteru. And that actually goes over the stages of a universe coming into being. The big, you know, burst, what they call the Big Bang, the big explosion of gases, then the coalescence of, you know, rocks, the formation of water and moisture and air and how these elements came together, and the formation of our planets. They actually relate a linear progression of how the universe was created, and they correlate it to different deities on what is called the Tree of Life, or the Pau Neteru. And when you study science, you see the same thing. So, you know, continuing now from microbiology and chemistry and the evolution and advancement of life to now being able to have the type of life that we are seeing with, you know, planets and solar systems and, of course, advanced biological organisms like ourselves on these planets and solar systems, as well as how far we can actually take it on the evolutionary ladder. And it is what we would call enlightenment as the truth. Where we came from, what we came from, what we evolved from, to where we can go, to how we can play a larger role in the evolution of life.
Wow.
Still there?
Wow. No, I'm listening. Okay, Janice, let me just ask you this. I know he said a mouthful, but based on what he said, I think he said everything is alive. Everything has a living organism present in it. Is that what you heard too?
That everything has a living organism in it?
Yeah, everything is a living organism. Is that what you said? That everything is alive. Is that right?
Yes, everything is alive.
Okay. Yeah, that's right.
All right, so let me just segue into that, because everybody, there's a yin and a yang and a up and a down. So that being said, where does the deities, you mentioned the deities, you know, the gods, you know, the different spiritual entities that people are giving credit for our creation. Where do you stand with that?
I have met some of them. You know, it's very important to do as much research as you can in different cultures. You know, for instance, you go to India, they know that the deities live in the planets, and that's why the planets are actually, to this day, named after different deities. You know, Jupiter is a being, is a deity. So, you know, about 3 years back, I did a show called Gnosticism and Agnosticism, because we are living in the agnostic period of human history, where a lot of the truth was driven underground and it was made a cult, and that was done for an important reason. It wasn't done for evil purposes. Yes, people can, you know, use that to trick people and to do wrong and stuff like that, but it was a concerted effort, and it was backed and promoted and supported by the deities. They did it for a reason. So now we are living in a time where, you know, people might find it hard to believe in the deities. The deities keep themselves hidden from human view. You know, if you do your due diligence, you will see in different ancient writings, and when I say ancient, I don't even mean before the Common Era, but in the Common Era, where people are interacting with the deities and they're telling them, you know, we are hidden from you, we hide ourselves from you for a reason. So in terms of where I stand with them, they helped me. Specifically, a deity named Neith. This was the patron deity of the priesthood in ancient Kemet. She really helped me to change the way that I think, and to think better, and to be better able to process information. Because whether your information is right, exact, and correct, language itself is not perfect. You know, language is ascribing ideas and concepts to words. But if you are not familiar with the ideas and the concept, the word means nothing. So it is not easy to learn and understand certain things. You know, language has to use a lot of correlation, a lot of correlative things. And this is why specifically you would see that the ancient people of the Nile Valley, they wrote with pictures. You know, they say a picture is worth 1,000 words, because a picture bring across an idea better than a language that just has like a writing script that is not pictorial. So that is another layer to, you know, having broader and deeper understanding, is that we also have to wrestle with a language that doesn't use pictures. So, you know, I got a lot of help in terms of understanding and writing the book from the deities, and they shared a lot with me.
Jimmy, do you have any questions for him before I move on? No, I'm just enjoying. All right. We're uncovering with Janice Wilson, and I did hear you state that you have met some of them. To the average listener, especially being a faith-based network, they're going to, like, some of them what? So let's segue into the fact that a lot of people think we talk about the Olympians and the Titans and all these other things, that they were just myths made up to entertain us. What are your thoughts on that?
It became myth because, how do I put it? You know, there's a word that you hear. There's a saying that a lot of voodoo science have. They say, you know, voodoo is a mystery. You know, what is this mystery? You know, it is, you appreciate it more when it becomes myth. You take it for granted less when it becomes, you know, myth. When you study ancient Khmer cosmology and history and scriptures, they will tell you there was a time when the deities, they call them Neteru, walked the earth in the open. And then the Neteru had to go behind the scenes. And they had to do this to give mankind the room to mature and to use their own brains and their own wits and their own hands and their own mind. You know, it is like if your parents are always lording over you, it makes it difficult for you to mature psychologically. So when that happens now, it becomes myth. And then it was through specifically initiation that you will be brought face to face with the revelation that is not, you know, myth in the sense of not being real. I think that back in the, you know, when you talk about the Titans and the Greeks and stuff like that, and we are calling it myth, for them, myth didn't mean it wasn't real. You know, myth more so meant it was hard to get to. You had to go on a quest. You had to work hard to figure this out. And that's not going to change, because when you learn something easy, you don't have the same power and conviction as when you had to sacrifice to learn it or to figure it out or to find it. So it is myth to give the mind inspiration about it, and it is also myth because you have to work hard to really come to the conclusion, oh, this is real. You know, with the idea of myth, there is a positive association with myth. You know, when you think of myth, you think of fantasy. When you think of fantasy, you don't think of negative things. So it is this great, like, secret that you, you know, want to uncover or find or prove, and that is myth.
The myth of one creator of all creation. How do you feel about that?
The one creator of all creation is love.
So I guess the essence of creation is love, but not necessarily attributed to one creator itself. Is that correct?
That is correct. It is a cooperative effort, and what you see in the creation deities, the primordial creation deities, you find that it's always paired male and female. It's not one person. You know, it is the collaboration between a male and a female that makes it work.
So right now, the chaos that's encompassing the globe, where would you say love is placed as a priority among humans now?
This is what I was told years ago. My guide said to me, around the 60s and 70s, beings from another world came here to show people love. And it didn't work, meaning the people didn't take it. Love is not prioritized here. It is sad. It is bad, but love is not prioritized here. Love is enlightenment. You know, love is, you know, when people are, when you really get down to, you know, what really makes it work. What happens is that this might not get enough play because people want to feel a certain way as they go about their daily life, but like you said, there's a lot of chaos. The truth is that planet Earth is a fallen star, and it's a place where people are sent to be reformed. It's a place where people are sent to be quarantined so that they can learn certain things. So, you know, that's also why love doesn't work here. It takes a lot of hard work. It really takes, you know, people of strong conviction not giving up to, you know, get it to work here. Ancient Kemet was called Ta Merit. Merit means beloved or of love. So it was, and Tommy's land, it was called, you know, land of love, land of lovers, you know. So Kemet represents a golden era in human civilization, and most historians and, you know, people who study ancient cultures speak of Kemet as exemplifying a golden era in human civilization. Unfortunately, it's not a global thing right now. Love is the solution, but love is not being used. And that's why it's so much chaos. I know that for a lot of people living on this planet, especially in this current era, it's hard for them to see what I call a utopian society. But for me, seeing what is going on, for me personally, it makes it easier for me to see a utopian society, a society whereby, you know, all the food and resources that are needed for basic human life are met. Technology is used to facilitate it and make it easier. There is no money. Behavior, love, that is the currency. You know, that's what has value. How you treat your fellow man, you know, being fair, not being a liar, not being greedy, and also not being scared that you won't have enough, which causes you to hoard and then deny other people to have so you can have a position of leadership. You know, that's the current regime we are under. You know, I am powerful because you are weak, not because I am, you know, strong, and not because I am wise. Meaning that, and you see it a lot in the Western world, whereby powerful people can't seem to share the same space. You know, they can't seem to, you know, come together. There's so much ego and this type of stuff. So that's where love isn't budding, meaning love brought us this far, but for us to go further now, we have to utilize it to evolve past this chaos that we have in enveloping the whole planet.
I'm speechless because there are so many things that I want to say, and I want to be mindful of the time. So I just want to say that I'm hearing you. A lot of people are not going to understand this broadcast. Would you say that every planet that we are aware of has been inhabited at one time?
Every planet in our solar system is inhabited. The life is not only on the surface, as well as here on Earth. There are lots of different types of beings. You know, they call them deities. They are the words for them that live inside the planet.
Amen.
All yet all the different planets in the solar system are inhabited. You know, they live on the inside. Usually what I found, planets that have life on the planet like human life, it's because there's a lot more room for evolution. And part of the evolution of the beings that own that planet is the management of the population that lives on that planet, because their success is also those beings' success. You know, meaning that, and I don't know if anybody has ever had this notion, we are being watched, we are being used at somebody's school, you know?
Of course, yes, yes.
Yes, yes, so that's what is happening here. On the other planets, you know, from the moon to the sun to Jupiter and Mars, their deities live inside of these planets. You know, when you look at the Camus artwork, all the planets are depicted as boats, you know, ships, and then the ruling deity of the planet is seen standing on top of the ship. But then you would find that these planets, they have, you know, different sub-deities. They're not living in civilizations on top of the planet, you know, especially Mars. You know, they are living in civilizations inside. And also, deities cloak themselves. So a lot of planets have cities in the sky around the planet. This is what people call heaven, but you can't see it. You know, when you look up into the sky, you see straight up into space. It's like, why? But when you study, it could be from the Hindu texts to other occult texts, to it could be Christian texts. There are cities around planet Earth where what are called angels live, but we can't see them. This is the same for lots of planets as well.
You know, I've been doing a little studying, and I'm not going to take away from the information that you're sharing, but, you know, we also, we have been told by the government, C-SPAN has been telling us about the different species that live among us, and we've had, you know, videos and different photographs to show, especially on the East Coast, where they have submerged vessels that come and go. We've had a lot of things that show us that we are not on this earth alone, but because of the unwillingness and fear to accept that we are not the only species, it's been ignored. So that being said, sir, you said you have seen some of the deities. Would you say, have you left the planet, or have they visited you here?
I have left, but they primarily visit me here. Leaving is not easy. It's not easy, unless you get, you know, picked up in a spaceship or something. Leaving with your astral body is very hard. It takes a lot of energy to leave, and then you will find out that a lot of people don't have the right to leave. So when you try to leave the first time, coming back can be problematic. And that's when you realize that, you know, people are being held down here until they grow up.
You know, they said astral projection is also painful, and it ages you as well.
Yeah,
Where we are as a human race, the species itself, I just was talking about it earlier today, that we are, as you said, the love has been rejected. We seem to be on a path of self-destruction. And other species seem to get along, but the human species is like mercury. You know, you lump it together and it looks like it's all solid, but as soon as you shake it up or disturb it a little bit, you got these little sections going off doing their own thing. And it's hard to gather back up. You know, you're just like, okay, come over here and pat it here. Your opinion on the direction of humans as we see them today, are we continually on a path of lovelessness and self-destruction, or is there hope for us?
One, I believe there's always hope, but it's obvious that we are on a path of self-destruction. It is obvious, and the main barometer for that is the leadership. And there's several things that you can use to analyze them. One, this amount of power and control over human life, especially in the Western world, is unprecedented. Largest military in a very, very long time. You know, the Western world doesn't have to worry about much. There is absolutely nothing stopping these people from starting to build utopian and foster loving societies and places. There's nothing. They have all the money that they need. They have all the resources that they need. And I'm sure they'll get the backing from the deities, because that's the destiny of humanity, is to unify globally, go beyond race, and then take that to other planets in the universe where life still needs help in evolving. That's human destiny.
Yes.
It's to take to the stars and help other less evolved peoples on planets to evolve. But that's not going to happen until there really is a one unified government and culture, and the type of economic systems are not what we have, you know, whereby for some people it doesn't matter how hard you work, you're still going to starve. I mean, that's all purposefully agenda-driven oppression. You know, then there's the racial issue. There's the gender disparity, you know, oppressing a particular gender, specifically women. You know, they can move past it because they have the position, they have the power and the resources. So I have to ask myself, what's wrong with them? And leadership takes the brunt of the blame as opposed to the populace.
Mm-hmm.
So when we look at where the leadership is with its ability to do, and the fact that it's not doing, we can theorize there's a darkness there. There is an evil there. Mm-hmm. And that's the major reason why we're headed for destruction.
You know, do you believe, or do you know, or can we ascertain that we are dimensional in existence?
We are dimensional in existence? Yeah. You know, There are different parts of us that are living lives that we are not even aware of.
That being said, I'm mindful of the time. I have one more question. And you talked about leadership. We talked about different species. We talked about other entities, deities, other planets being inhabited. In your personal opinion or professional opinion or through your spiritual experiences, where do you see the leadership going for this planet?
I see it being replaced. I see it being replaced with people that are not going to abuse power, people that are not going to forget their responsibility, which is to evolution. I see trouble. You know?
That being said, we're going to bring it to a close with the all in all straightforward, focused question.
based on your education and exposure, the belief in Jesus Christ as our Lord and Savior coming back to separate the wheat from the chaff and putting an end to evil and locking Satan up. And where does that play into where we are as far as the deity guiding you?
Well, this is such a touchy subject, even from a marketing perspective. This is probably the first time that the audience listening is going to know that I'm a believer and follower of Jesus Christ, and I've done a lot of research on who he was and getting to the bottom of that story. It was so critical. It wasn't something that I could just, you know, come out there and be like, you know, blah, 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 blah. I really, and I say this almost every day, I feel sorry for a lot of people. You know, he wasn't accepted, and a large part of that, if not exclusively, was because he was black. The major reason why he wasn't accepted by the powers that be was his race. And it really shows you how silly and immature the leadership is. And, you know, I don't think most people are going to know or be ready for the second coming. I really, really don't. When I look out there and I see how much people are being distracted, and then I see, you know, people's expectations, you know, people are going to expect something awe-inspiring and, you know, for the clouds to open up, for them to believe. You know, that's what most human minds want. But it won't be so. It's as if the deities are extremists on people being real. It's as though they are extremists on people being real. So it's not going to come like that. You are going to have to, through either what we might call a leap of faith, realize who he is when he comes. You know?
Yeah.
I like I said, you know, I did a lot of research. You know, I see that people are arguing about who he is, whether he was real or not. You know, I said through, and I recently did research on this. Even European history has never denied the reality of Jesus Christ. It's only in recent times as the traction of the racial type he incarnated in is gaining popularity that they're actually allowing the spread of he never existed. Before that, they might have been contention, but the reality was never denied. Now it's being boldly denied. You know, people are allowed to get on. Bill Maher really, really had me peeved. You know, I really thought that what Bill Maher did was so unfair. But also, I know that there is an agenda to eradicate religion. There is an agenda by the powers that be to eradicate religion. There has to be something viable in it.
Exactly.
And now there's a stronger anti-religious crowd. People are, and now we have this internet, and people can put all these memes up that purport to be the definition of this and the definition of that. People are getting 10th, 11th, and 12th hand information now, as opposed to first hand information. It has gotten worse.
I want to ask you before we leave, sir, that is exactly what I believe, but do you believe that the powers that's encouraging these behaviors come from the entity or the source of the spirit being called Satan?
Wow, 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 wow. I prefer to say Lucifer. You know, as I was told, he was bad from, you know, his gestation, and he hasn't changed. he hasn't changed. This would be getting really, really, really personal. No, I'd be persecuted by that person. Yeah, man. You know, it's just, I'm glad that I can laugh and I'm not mentally ill or anything, but it's serious.
Yes, it is serious. It's totally serious. And I had to end this interview with that because we come full circle. Everything has a beginning. Everything has an end. Everything has a action and a reaction and a cause. Nothing happens by accident. The love is the identification that we should be following as humans, but it's being rejected. And you've also pointed out that the big opposition is the spiritual entity of Lucifer, and there are other entities around. Some have been revealed to us, some have not, but we are not here alone. The basis for Lucifer, he has an all-in-all attack on humanity itself, and he's attacking us through our intellect, and we're self-destructing based on our thoughts, and our thoughts control our behavior. So where we are right now with your book, tell the listeners and the viewers, because I'm sure we're going to try to have a video of you soon, where they can find you if they want you to lecture or make an appearance, and what you have coming up if you have any appearances, and where to find your book.
The God Genes Decoded can be found on Amazon.com. Title search, God Genes Decoded. It is distributed in a lot of black bookstores. I don't have the names of all of them, and it's just too much. But you can get it on Amazon.com. If you want to reach me to invite me in to speak and share some of my personal experiences, you can contact me at EgyptianVoodooPriest@gmail.com. That's EgyptianVoodooPriest@gmail.com.
I have to ask you before we go, though, why did you pick that email, Egyptian Voodoo Priest? Wow. How did you come with that email address? That you don't have to answer that, but that's real interesting for Gmail address. It really is Egyptian Voodoo Priest. Okay.
People were too agnostic in their approach to ancient Egypt, and, you know, it's a very special place. You know, it's the birthplace of the Savior.
Yes. And they don't want to acknowledge that.
They don't want to acknowledge
it. I'm so glad you said that the origin of humans came from the black race. Even though they know geographically where the story originated, it still is hard to accept. But the genes proved that. They had a special on a couple of the TV stations showing that everybody in existence has one gene in common, and it goes back to a black female. How cool is that?
That is the absolute truth. There is a very, very rational and reasonable reason for that. You know, life starts in warm climate, not cold. As a matter of fact, most planets, most suns in the solar system are a twin, you know?
Yes.
Lucifer is a sun. He is a twin. His twin is up in the sky that we see. So technically speaking, a planet is supposed to have two suns and hence no winter because you need warm weather for life. And, of course, if you're out in the sun, if you don't want to be burned and scarred and have melanoma and cancer, you need to be brown skinned and black skinned. So, but you know that's what they needed for them to have self esteem. You know, when they came on the scene, we were like titans. We were like gods and goddesses, and it wasn't easy for them to psychologically develop. So they need to now get rid of white supremacy, so that they can continue to evolve and stop one of the major reasons for so much contention on the planet.
Yes, yes. We have so many ways we can segue, but I am mindful of the time, Jamise. I really appreciate you allowing me to be a part of this interview with this dynamic speaker. And we, your show, namely Uncovered, has exactly done what we wanted it to do. So that being said, my gracious hostess, host, is there anything you want to ask your guest?
I'm just in awe of the wealth of information that I just heard tonight. I've been in college for like 20 years, and I don't think I've heard anything as close to what you just mentioned today. So I've learned a lot tonight, and I really do appreciate you sharing what you learned and what you're sharing with everyone else. So I really do appreciate you being here tonight. I don't have any questions because I need to go do some research myself first.
Thank you. I want to say this to people out there listening. This book has been read by Kanye West, Jay-Z, Rihanna, D.L. Hughley. And, you know, those are entertainers. World leaders of governments have read my book. You know, I've been followed by very, very wealthy people online. A lot of my writings on my fan page have been adapted for movies. I'm not proud of that because I wasn't paid. But, The God Genes Decoded spread throughout the entertainment industry like fire. And it had a lot to do with how it was written and what it exposed. Mm-hmm. And the powers that be did try to take me out because of what was exposed. You know, you're supposed to have approval, and they didn't know that I had approval to do what I was doing. So they had to be told.
I got one question. Before we go, I'm looking at the time. Are we being watched?
Yes.
Depending on what we know, what we share, are people being assigned to watch us, both to protect us and or ready to take us out?
Mainly to protect us if what we are sharing and what we are doing is for the benefit of the evolution of mankind. The taken out part, that is kind of natural, you know. We have to persevere, but yes, we are being watched, totally being watched, and I just feel sorry for people that don't realize. First, everybody is being watched. Everybody's entire life is recorded. Everything that you do is recorded, and after you die, you do get judged according to that, you know, that record of what you did. But then, like you said, some of us are being watched so we can be protected.
Say that again. Some of us are being watched.
Some of us are being watched so we can be protected.
I think so.
What it is that if you're not good enough to uplift humanity, you're going to try to stop other people who are. You understand? This is what is going on.
Yeah.
So now they want to dictate who's enlightened and who's not. They want to say, okay, we will allow you to speak, but not you.
Yeah.
And that's a big part of the madness that is going on. So being that their cabal is corrupt, they don't want to admit that enlightenment is not going to come out of their cabal because it's just too corrupt, you know? Nobody wants to be birthed through their line that is enlightened. So they're going to have to tolerate people from the outside. And since they're not doing that, we are in like a state of emergency.
You know, I don't know about Janice, but I would love to interview you again. But Janice, this is your guest, and I've been absolutely amazed at the answers that I've gotten. And I thank you so much for allowing me to be a part of this. Like you said, we need to go do some studying. And again, I thank you so much for allowing me to ask you these pertinent questions. And I pray that we share this globally. You know, we are a global internet broadcasting, and I want people to be aware. You know, the whole purpose of Storm Talk 365 is to encourage spiritual growth and enhance human development, and I think that's what you've done today. So, Janice, again, I thank you for allowing me to be a part of this.
Hey, you're welcome. I'm glad that you were here.
Well, all right then. That being said, everybody, Janice, would you like to tell everybody good night?
Yes. Thank you for tuning in to my episode of Uncovered, where we just uncovered the God genes today, okay? So if you didn't know anything, I hope you learned something. And, you know, be ready for next week's episode because you never know what's going to be uncovered. And also, if you like to be uncovered or if you have a topic that you want uncovered, leave me a message in the comment box below, or you can find me on Twitter, Instagram, and Facebook at Janice Wilson. All right? I hope to look forward to entertaining you again next week.
All right, everybody. You have a great night. Thank you so much, sir. Bye-bye now.
Good night.